Hey there, foreigners. This is Rohit from BreakingTheBorders.com, home of the ambitious immigrants. Today's guest is Ajay Prasad. That name might sound familiar to you if you are a long-time listener, because it is the second time Ajay is coming on this show. Ajay is a serial entrepreneur, and the first time he was on, he talked about his transcription company, GMR Transcription, which he created to test the ideas of his marketing company, GMR Web Team. Is that right, Ajay?
Yes, GMR Web Team.
Webteam.com. So today he's here to talk about his latest company, Repugen. Ajay, welcome to Breaking the Borders podcast.
Thanks, Rohit. I'm happy to be here.
I want to get into what Repugen is and what it does. But before I go into there, I want to step back a little bit and talk about what you did before your first entrepreneurial venture ever, which is GMR Transcription. What was life like and what got you onto the path to starting your own company?
So before I became an entrepreneur, actually I was in corporate America, and I was doing okay there. You know, I was among the fortunate ones. I became vice president of major corporation, I think, on sixth or seventh year of my career. And so I've always been part of the management team in corporate America for, quite some time. And then in 2003, I was head of a consumer electronic product that I had literally, it was from a thought process on a paper to get it done by the engineering team and go and sell it in, with the distribution channel. So we did that, and it turned out to be a very successful product. But just literally a day after the product was launched, I was fired. Okay. My boss came in and said, oh, now we can take it from here. Now, listen, I don't want to get into the detail of what it was. Of course, it was a shock. It was not like I was expecting after introducing a really successful product. But what bothered me more, was the fact that I had so little control over my destiny. I mean, frankly, I did get a job offer very quickly from a competitor to head the company, their company. But I was just I was shaken by how little control I had on my life. So I told this company to hold on, because I got an offer within a week. And I went on vacation with my family. Said, let's go to Paris. And walking on the street, I'm like, I have always wanted to be the CEO of a company. And I was very early on, I became vice president and up. And now that I have an offer, I'm not excited. And it just dawned on me that, I really wanted more control over my life. So that's how that was a decision. So frankly, I turned down I came back and I called them. I thanked them for the offer and said, I don't want to join it right now. And so I had decided that I'm going to do something on my own. I had no idea what. Okay, now I'm a marketing person. I've always been in the field of marketing. So that was a very natural thing to do. So like everyone else, you become a consultant. So I became a marketing consultant for a while I was thinking. And I very quickly got some project also, just because, I had a decent network at that time.
What would you consult on when you started?
Pardon me?
What would you consult on when you first started?
So I started with consulting very large corporations, because those are, I knew the vice presidents. But it was worse than working for a large corporation being a consultant, because you are in the big corporation, at least you are inside, so you can do something about it. This is like looking from outside. So you tell them this is what you do, and most of the time, and I have done it myself in the corporation, you get a consultant to just prove your point to someone. It's not like life or death decision for the company. And right there, a friend of mine said, I have this my friend who has a small business. Do you think you can help him? I'm like, yeah, I will talk. And it was such a refreshing experience, because frankly, before that, I had never dealt with small business in my life. I was always like a corporate guy, right? Big companies and even small businesses, when they sometimes they try to compete, I'm like, are you serious? I'm just going to crush you. Mm-hmm. So it was what was amazing to me was there was no agenda. These guys, they just wanted to, you know, he was just trying to figure out how do I grow my business. So right there, I decided that I'm going to deal with small businesses. Now, small business, they don't have the budget, so they were not going to pay me $500 an hour, which I was charging big corporations for my consulting. So I said, okay, let me just build a corporation or a company around it so that I manage it, people work it, and so that's where the GMR web team came in, because I also wanted a niche. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, let's go into digital, develop the website. You have to realize that was the era when people did not think that they needed a website. So I built a team in India and got in GMR web team. So that's how I started.
Yeah.
And GMR transcription was started when I decided to start offering marketing. So in the beginning, I was only doing web design. But
So you just create a website for your clients?
Yeah, but with a twist, because I said, you know, your website is not like an abstract. I mean, it has to be consistent with your strategy. So of course, if I was more expensive, but the businesses will sit down and talk to me and also, okay, let's figure out, you know, what's your unique value proposition, how do you want to be positioned, known for, and then based on that, the messaging and everything and even the design was a reflection of that.
Yeah.
So I was already, I had, you can say, added the marketing thinking into the website when that I was offering. And then a year later, I said, you know, I should start offering marketing. Like, how do you get people? Now that you have a website, how do you get people to your website? Now, at that time, there was nothing like SEO and all those things. They were all fraud, basically, most of them. I would change all. So I just wanted to come up, figure out, you know, what a process, what works. So I made this company, GMR Transcription, because I knew that there was a demand. I had no idea how much. I created this sort of a real business because I wanted to test all the marketing before I would offer to customer. And I'm very big believer in that. I don't like to offer my services unless I'm sure that I can help them. Mm-hmm. And it just took off. You know, the marketing worked. So, of course, my team proved to me that they know how to market it. And it just turned out that the business was needed. So that's how it started. I started back in 2004, and then what I would like to do is fast forward to why I did Repugen.
Yeah, I was going to ask you then, right? Like, digital marketing has been going well. You have been doing it for more than 5 years, and you talked in depth about how you did it in your first interview also, which I'll link to in this show notes as well. But what was the status of before you go into Repugen? What was the status of, you know, the GMR web team when you came up with Repugen idea? What was it doing in revenue? How many customers you had?
Sure. So by that time, you know, we had 50 marketing customers, which means, you know, you are getting paid on a monthly, on a subscription basis. So, you know, the company was comfortably in black in seven figures already. And one of the service that we started offering back in 2011 was not offering per se, but we created like a plan for all our customers that say, you guys have to start getting more resumes, more reviews on these review sites, because
review sites as in Yelp and others.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And for two reasons, you know, first was actually I needed them. At that time, people were not really going and checking reviews. I'm talking 2011. It was not that popular like it is now. But Google search signals, it was a big help. So I'm like, for SEO, I needed reviews, especially for small businesses, local businesses. So I went to them and we created a program for them. And this program, essentially what it did was manually, we printed a card with their link, so we created their profiles. We put a card, and we asked them that when they do customers, they should ask them how did they perform, and if someone says, you know, I'm very happy, then give them a card, request them to do write a review. So all 50 plus people, we gave them this thing. And, you know, some of them did a great job because it was more like a corporate structure. So they created a process and everything was going fine. And then many of my clients didn't even get a single one. They didn't even give the card to anyone because they were even scared to ask people how happy you are or not. You know, there are some people who don't, you know, they like to put their head in the sand and say, I don't want to know if I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, they take it very personally and it's like ego crushing if they say bad things.
Exactly. So, I would say late 2014, so last year was 15, right? So late 2014, I started to think that, God, you know, I have to take the human element out of getting reviews. Because by then, what had happened by 2014, there was a big chunk. And now, of course, 92% of the customers check your reviews before they contact a business. But even in 2014, the numbers had become pretty significant. I think it was 60 something plus. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, now the reviews, we need them for SEO, but we need them for the business to get, you know, when we are doing digital marketing, our goal is to get more customers for our client. That's the reason they pay us. And I'm like, hey, you know, if the review is not there, people are not going to even contact them.
Yeah.
So in 14, I said, okay, I need to create this, take human element out. So I come every Saturday, I am in the office. Office is closed, so I'm alone and the phone seldom rings. And I get to, and I do it, I call it as my time. So I spend like 5-6 hours in the office on Saturday. I'll come at around 10 and leave at 4. And it's totally my time. So one, I started thinking about it. I started outlining what I can do. And pretty soon, I had a requirement document for a software I had written. That this is because basically I replicated everything that a successful, you know, my successful company was doing already, my clients who was very successful in getting the reviews. And once I had it, then of course.
So what was it like? Can you tell me more about the initial draft? What was the flow at that time?
Yeah, so the flow was exactly what it is. So what I wanted to do is actually I added one thing. So the initial flow was obviously you have every time a customer leaves, then you have to send them a survey. And that is a very common thing. You know, you in America, as you know, even I go to my car dealership and the moment I brought my car back, you know, I get an email from there. It's like, how did we perform? So the idea was that, okay, let's do survey. So that took care of asking that question, right? That how happy were you? And of course, we changed the language. It's not happy. You know, we are saying, you know, how likely you are to recommend us based on your experience, so that, you know, we are not asking happiness. You know, it's hard for people to say.
Yes.
But the big thing, and then based on the result, whether they said, we basically broke it down into three segments of answer. So if someone gives you answer to 6, then we call them, you know, unhappy customers. Right. So then there's a whole different process. So you need to notify the business owner and say, hey, you know, you have an unhappy customer, you should contact them. And we always ask them whatever number they gave. The idea was to also ask and say, why did you let us know why you gave us this number? Right. Mm-hmm. So for that, then if someone put like 7, 8 kind of thing, or then we considered them as like neutral. So, you know, they are not like thrilled, but they are not unhappy either.
Yeah.
So it's neutral. So you just thank them. And then the last two people gave 9, 10, or actually 8, 9, 10. We said, okay, these are promoters. Mm-hmm. These are the people who are really happy. So all of a sudden we asked them and say, hey, you know, do you mind writing a review? And not only that, because we asked them, when you give a 9 and we say, or 10, we say, let us know why. And you say, oh, you know, your customer service was wonderful. Fantastic. Then because you have typed it, we'll ask you and say, hey, you know, Rohit, is it okay if I share this on my website, you know, as testimonial? So all of a sudden I'm getting more testimonials for the site if you said yes. And then whether you say yes or no, then we request you and say, you know, the online reviews have become lifeblood of business.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to, do you mind writing a review about your experience on Yelp? Now, you have already given me 10, right, or 9. So I know that you're not going to go on Yelp and give me 1 star,
mm-hmm.
right? So you will either give 4, you know, worst 3, but typically you will give 4 or 5,
yeah,
right, star there. So that enhances it. So then what happens? I have always known, because I've been in the consumer business, dealt with consumer for a long time. Your unhappy customers are the one who are most vocal.
Mm-hmm.
So if unhappy customer will tell other people, don't use these guys, or you know, they are most likely to go and write you know, bad things about you. And the happy customers are just happy. They don't think about you. I mean, right? You know, you went there, you got everything that you needed. You don't think it's like, geez, you know, I want to write about them. It's just the human nature.
Yeah.
So as a result, most of the site, if you leave, if you are not proactively asking people to write reviews, what will happen is it will have a poorer reflection of your real business.
Yeah, because bad customers talk more. So once you had this list of requirements, this was in late 2014 and early 2015, right? What was your next step?
So the next step was I go to India. You know, my team is in India, right? I have a development team, a marketing team. Now, of course, I have a team in US, about 14 people in the corporate office. But in India, I have about 100 people. So in March of last year, 2015, I went there and I already had the requirement documents created. So I called my development team and the marketing team, because I just wanted the head of the marketing so that he can give input in terms of what else. And he's actually the one who suggested, can we also send a text?
Mm.
Because that mobile has become such a big deal that sending a text survey will probably enhance, increase the number of responses we get. So then I laid it out. This is what I want to do. And so they had to do some R&D, you know, and they are still doing some R&D. It's not, you know, when you have a software product, it's always ongoing. So number one R&D they had to do is when you send a text, for example,
mm-hmm.
and someone responds to you, right, on the text based on, okay, I rate you 10. Then how do you capture it? So on the end, so that I know that it came from Rohit, not from AJ, you know, that text,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
So because if you gave 1, then I have to tell the client, right, that, hey, you know, Rohit gave you 1.
Yeah.
And he's very unhappy about this. Please contact him immediately. So that was the first thing they had to figure out, how to do that. And then, of course, on the database, even the email, it's the same thing. When you respond, then the system needs to know who you are, put your score in the right place, because, you know, I can, so that I can even run a report and see what's happening and all that. So I laid out my requirement, and then it was a task for the development team to tell me how long it will take. So when I came back, and then after I came back, right? And so they planned everything, and then 2 weeks later, they came back to me and said, okay, we can do it, and it will take probably by October
mm-hmm.
Of last year.
They can October do it. Of 2015.
Yeah. Now, remember, at that time, we were just talking engine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So all this that if how it is going
just
to
the back end, so you mean when you say engine, just
yes,
the back end.
Exactly. The back end.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, that's very typical of any project. So they ended up getting that done by December.
Mm-hmm. Why would you want to develop just the engine behind it? What was the idea?
Because you see, my thing is I always like to my philosophy always has been, you know, crawl, walk, run.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to see if it will work, because
yeah.
see, it was
as
just
whether
an idea,
it will
right?
be effective so, enough to get you good reviews and block the bad reviews. Whether
exactly
is,
right. So once the engine was there, remember I have 50 plus marketing clients, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I could go to them, and actually I charged them.
Mm-hmm.
But suppose if I wanted, I could have said, hey, you know what? This is a free thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that what kind of pain they had of getting the reviews. So when I told them that, okay, you know, I'll give you a discount for $100 a month, I will add this service, they were thrilled to do that.
Yeah.
So you know, it was kind of, think about it as a crude you know, it was the engine in the car, but, you know, you, and you could drive the car if you want, but you know, you couldn't buy it, you know, you don't know how to start the car. I mean, you know, only the engineers could do that, all those things. So we had the engine. Then I wanted to see if we can patent it, right, the processes and everything. So I contacted a patent attorney in December when finally it was working. And I said, hey, you know, it's working. I'm going to test with my client. So can we, and I want to file for patent. He's like, wait a minute. If you're going to file for patent, you cannot even use it for anything. So we had this thing done. He had to run a patent.
Can you explain more? What does that mean?
What, the patent?
No. When you said you can't use it, when the lawyer told you can't use it when you have a patent, I don't get it.
No. So he said, until you have a patent, if you use it, so even for a client, if you are using it, then it is quote unquote, now it's in public domain. So you cannot go back and patent it.
You have
to file for the patent first.
Before you implement.
Before you can use it. Now, so I'm like, okay. So in January, I said, look, let's file for patent. It's not that simple. They had to run a search first, and then they come back, and then he had to create a document based on everything. So finally, patent is signed up in February of this. So I got the patent pending.
So you had to actually had your customers who you promised this will be implemented wait for the patent to be finished.
Actually, they did not even know that this product
they didn't
was
even
there
know that by then. Okay. It was just painful for you, not for your customers yet.
Exactly. So February, finally, patent is there. Now I am able to talk. Because the attorney told me, don't talk to anyone about this. So then we went to our customers and offered them, you know, for a fee. And everyone, I would have given it for free, but I'm lucky that, luckily, I said, let me see if they're willing to pay. Mm-hmm. And 100%. You know, adoption.
How did you know how much to charge in the beginning?
So you know, I started by charging $200 a month, right? Because I, you know, my thing is that I look at what kind of pain they have and I'm solving and what's the value of that pain rather than what's my cost and all those things. Mm-hmm. And I knew that this was a very significant pain for the front desk or for the business owner to take time every day to call people and say, hey, you know, how did you like it? And if they said, I liked it, they said, okay, thank you. And I'm then send a card to them requesting them to write the reviews and everything. So you know, there was a big pain definitely there. Mm-hmm. So I asked for $200 a month and no one even blinked, mm-hmm. right? So that's the reason why I'm still charging $200 a month on the website. I would say end of March, we started using it, right? So all the clients started using this product. By May, we knew that we had a winner in hand, okay? Their reviews started to increase, and then the clients were thrilled with the back end, all the information. So now I'm consulting with the client and say, tell me what else we can do to improve. So there was this doctor group. They said, you know, can you send me, give me better reporting because I have a different level of people have different interests. So we started getting feedback from the clients. And then we said in May and said, okay, now we have to put a skin. So think about it. Now the engine is done. So let's put a body around the, you know, the car, put the ignition key and everything so that someone can come start it and start driving. That's a pretty massive task. So it was like May.
To sell it as a standalone product, you wanted to build an UI to sell it as is. Or was it for existing customers to just add it on themselves rather than your specialist to do it?
So once it started to work, mm-hmm. then I decided to create a standalone product.
Ah, I see. Mm-hmm.
Software as a service, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a SaaS product. So now the logic was, okay, SaaS, what do you need to do? So I sat down with my team to figure out what they have to go through in order to, when someone signs up on the back end, right? And we had to create like a user interface for all those things so that it can happen automatically, right? And then the interface, and then what kind of reports we want to show on the back end. So that's where we went to the customers to find out what reporting they want. And then based on that, I would say in by end of May, we had laid out exactly now what's the next step. So we started to put a skin around it and started to fine tune the mess, what the message will be. So you know, the content needs to be written, right? What will be the website message? Because before, remember, there was not even a website.
Yeah.
It was just just an engine. So we put it on a website, we put the skin, and it took my team literally, so May, June, July, August, September. So mm-hmm. About 4 months and 4.5 months, I would say, to finally get to a point where I said, you know what, I think that I can launch it now, you know, to the general public. Mm-hmm. So we launched it. My existing clients were thrilled because of the reporting and everything. And now we are still trying to beautify the reporting. And then I kind of made it available. And, you know, I did a soft launch mm-hmm. for sale. So the people I knew, and there were like 4 or 5 people came and signed on their own. And they had some hiccups because I gave them deep discount. All of a sudden, I said, okay, fine, you know, I'll give you 75% off, you know, to the first 20 people who come in. And when they, because really I was not focused on money at that point, you know, I really wanted to make sure that this, everything works. So, of course, once they started to sign up, we saw some hiccups because as much as you plan, it's the real user that tell you. So, you know, now we have... Again, made improvement. Mostly it was user interface. They did not understand what do I do now and those kind of things, you know, setting up on their own. In fact, today we added a new feature because they were saying, new customers said, hey, you know, I upload all my customers because, you know, we always said, you know, when you started, upload all your customers. Mm-hmm. They're like, geez, you know, I uploaded 7,000 customers into your system. And it shot 7,000 messages, right? And they were like overwhelmed because some people called. It's like, you know what? And also they got like 30 reviews in one day mm-hmm. and stopped. So they said, well, you know, can you do it so that we get it gradually? And we said, okay, so we added a new logic where you say the first data that you upload, it will keep on sending 50 messages a day until it is exhausted, right? Mm-hmm. So that you are getting reviews on a regular basis.
So what does the business owner has to do, like on a daily basis? What does he have to do after he he goes to epigen.com, buys the tool, implements it? What does he have to do on a daily basis to sustain it?
On a daily basis, all you have to do is when you have a new customer and once you are done with them, you just add their name, phone number, email address, cell number and email address, and you're done. That's it. And the software does everything else.
And what the software does is the things that we talked about, you know, send the email, send the text message based on the review, either find out what is wrong with your service or send them help links.
So if there's something wrong, then the business owner is notified immediately. So if you give, say, 3, mm-hmm. then you will see a message that says, we are really sorry we could not satisfy you. We are going to contact you to figure out, you know, how what went wrong and so that, you know, it doesn't happen again, right?
Yeah.
So you have already sort of calmed down, and we immediately shoot a message to the business owner and say, you know, you have unhappy customers in hand. You know, he's so-and-so, that's his phone number, please contact them.
Yeah.
So that's what businesses are doing. And then even in the back end, like, for example, so this is how evolves the software. So one of the medical offices that use this software, so they have assigned a person to react and talk to patients who are unhappy, right? So they said, yeah, but what they're doing, I don't know. So they said, is it possible for you to create something where once they have talked, they have to also add the resolution about, in terms of what happened.
So if you talk to an unhappy customer, let's say someone rated a 1 and that person talks to them, what is the resolution? Why did they rate 1 and how are you planning to fix it?
Exactly. So now what happens that, say, this medical office, they get 1, right? So you get the email, you have all the information. So suppose now you talk to me and said, okay, AJ, what happened? And I tell you that, okay, this is what happened. You said, I'm really sorry. Next time, please come and I'll do you whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So then right there in the email that notifies you, you can click on resolution. It automatically opens it into your system and you can write down, talked to Ajay. You know, he's okay now. You know, he's going to come next time. I promised I will do this. Right. So, the reason doctor wanted so that they would say, hey, you know, I can see that this guy, why he was unhappy, and then I can see what my office did about it. Got okay. It. Yeah. Now, every business owner now loves this. So you know, we are adding features like that on a so it will evolve. And even the most established softwares like, you know, Microsoft Office keeps on evolving. They are changing. So I don't see that. You know, I have a team of 4 people working on Repligen full time, and I don't see that team going away. Mm-hmm. That will be ongoing.
Yeah. So I want to ask about a couple of mindset things, Ajay, since you have started like several companies, right? The first thing is about, you know, the initial phase, and the second one is about, you know, building phase, and the third one is about Correct. The scaling phase. The first one I want to ask about before, about the starting, right? Which is, did you ever consider taking funding, and why or why not? Because you are a successful entrepreneur, and if you wanted money to build your business, it probably could scale much faster. I'm curious to know why you would not do that and build it out of your own resources.
Sure. You know, I am one of the jobs I have had, unfortunately, was in a dot-com company, you know, back in 1999. Okay. At a very senior, you know, number one position, you know, role in the company. So I had the pleasure or the displeasure of dealing with VCs. And then another company where I was a co-founder in India, actually, that was also funded by Sequoia. So after dealing with these VCs, I've started to realize that when you are a startup, a small company, I don't think that it's a good idea to go to VCs, even if they buy your vision, because your approach, your goal, and their goal seldom are in the same direction. You see, they look at every business as scalable, you know, exit, and all those things, right? I look at business is what kind of help I can make, offer, and so it's a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. And I even have tried, like my GMR web team, when it was doing 7 figures, so, you know, I have some of the people that I know, I would say even friend, who started also a similar company, and they have gone to a different level because they got funding and everything. So at some point I said, well, you know what, let me see if I can get some funding for GMR web team and kind of exploded the growth. So I, you know, of course I know people in the Silicon Valley because like I said, I was there, and I know some people who are very influential there. So I went in front of a couple of VCs, and so they are nitpicking. So they're like, okay, I like it, everything. So just so that you know, my marketing clients, my turnover is less than 5% mm-hmm. a year.
Mm-hmm. In other words, less than 5% of the people go away. 95% of the people you keep year over year.
Exactly. Now the typical turnover, just so that you know, on SEO is close to 70%. And all these companies, what they do is they lock you on a 1 year contract, and after 1 year, 70% people leave. Mm. Now, I don't lock in anything. That's just one of my philosophy is I don't want to lock someone. And I just, you know, my attitude is that, hey, you know, if you want to, if you're not happy, I don't want to take your money.
Yeah.
I mean, I would rather you go than be unhappy and paying me money, right? So their first question was, hey, you know, you have month-to-month contract, so they can leave anytime. I'm like, yeah, and that is my philosophy. That's how I differ from the other people. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, we don't like it. We like to see contract. It's like, hey, you know, look at the turnover. They're like, yeah, I get it, but can you talk to them and see if they will sign a long-term contract? And I just basically told them that, listen, this is not negotiable. You don't understand that.
Yeah.
That is so what I'm trying to tell you, that VCs have their own way of thinking in terms of how a business should be run, right? And every entrepreneur is there at whatever point because they are very unique, right? You have a very unique way of thinking. So I'm not saying that no one should go to VC, but it's not for me. Mm-hmm. And then also, I when I was in the VC world, in the dot-com era, I was spending too much time of my energy trying to satisfy the VPs, mm-hmm. VCs, rather than do the, you know, which I would have rather put it on work. So that's, I don't believe in the, now I'm not saying that I will never do that. As a matter of fact, for Repugen, I have like 3-4 people, not VC, the angels, you know, there's some angels who, when they're thinking about a company, then they bring me as a consultant, just because, you know, of my marketing experience, right? And they've heard about it and they want to, they're like, hey, you know, can I invest in it? I'm like, no. but I've always said that for Repugen, for example, you know, if I get like a highly energetic guy who says, I'm just going to raise the fund and I'm going to take it to the next level, I, for equity, I may even consider that, but I am personally not going to do that. Yeah. It's not me. So that's
also
one reason.
Against the control that you started out with, right? So having a VC loses control, and you started out because you wanted to have control.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, you already, I told you that, I mean, I just wanted to control my own destiny. And again, the moment you get funding and all those things, you know, you start to lose those controls, obviously.
You launched your whole company, Repugen, on your existing client base, right? And you mentioned elsewhere that, you know, people or small businesses don't use their existing client base well. Apart from, you know, launching new products, what other ways can you use your existing client base?
Yeah, so of course, your existing client base, number one is you can sell more products to them, right? Because they are happy with you. So if you're creating products that is relevant, you know, for them, you can use it. The second thing is, of course, your client is the best source of referral. You know, I have like, you know, 9, I think, dentists who are my clients literally all over the country, mm-hmm. Right now for digital marketing. And it all started with one. There was one dentist who in Des Moines, Iowa, who contacted me through someone, you know, and all of a sudden she was very happy. And this happened in 2013. And after like a couple of years, all of a sudden she started recommending, and now we are up to 9. So again, the referrals is a very big thing in terms of your growth of your client.
So you have a process to ask on a regular basis to ask for referrals?
You know, we don't. Okay. And I'm not saying that it's a good thing.
Okay.
I'm saying that we should have it. And now what I have done is, since I am using Repugen for my clients also, okay. Right? So I'm getting the feedback, and this gives me a reason. You know, I am basically, I won't say shy, but I'm not comfortable asking people for anything. You know, I have right now, one of my biggest client is a very close friend of mine. She used to be my boss. And when she left back in, 1995 or 93, actually. And since then, we have been friends, a very, very good friend, you know. And when I started my business, she has been like a really big shot in companies always. I never went to her and said, hey, you know, can you give me some projects? It's just, I'm not comfortable. I mean, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's not just me.
So that's why you can use tools like Repugen tools so that you don't have to ask.
Yeah, and ultimately what happened is literally 10 years after I had already started my business, she called me and said, hey, you know, we have this problem. Do you think you can help? And that's how it started. And now, of course, that worked very well. So she has been adding, can you do this also? Can you do this also? And she has already evolved into our biggest client,
oh, nice.
In the last 2 years, 2014, when she has done it, because we have been adding new and new, services to her. So, you should ask for referral. I mean, I get like passively when the clients send us referral, and that's what I have done. And then, of course, you can do case studies.
Yeah.
So there are, I mean, we have some clients who are saying, okay, you can use our name. Some say no, but they are okay with using the data because no one knows who this data is for. So you can create some real case studies that people can see. I think your current, to me, your current client is your, has to be your bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to make sure that they are thrilled. And that has been, like I said, you know, my philosophy.
So for anyone who is like on the fence about whether to go in this path of difficult path of entrepreneurship or not, who is just on the fence, what advice do you give them to take that plunge?
So you know, first thing I always say is you have to figure out what you want to do, right? So if you want to do that and figure out the reason for it, and the reason I'm saying is the reason that I want to become rich is not the right reason to become an entrepreneur. You know, the reason that I hate my boss is not the right reason, because you could switch a job and all of a sudden you have a wonderful boss, right? Then you don't have, so you have to figure out why you, and I always say that whatever it is, if your reason is that you see a niche, right? You see a need in an area, and you know that what you are going to provide is going to have create a real value, you know, for your, you know, prospective customer, then you should start thinking about it. I cannot tell you how many wannabe entrepreneurs have come to me and said, I want to start this business, because, you know, a lot of the business now start with web, mm-hmm. you know, web-based businesses. And I talk to them, and now if I'm not convinced that it's the right thing for them, I turn them down. Because I know that it's going to fail, and I don't want to be associated with lots of failed businesses anymore. I mean, I can afford to do that. But even in the beginning, I used to scare more people than convince them to come and start it. Because, yeah, so you have to know why you're doing, and then you know what you're doing, and then you have to make it darn sure that whatever you're doing, you're creating a wonderful value. If you're charging someone $1, and so long they are getting $5, $10 worth back, that's fantastic. Then all of a sudden you are into but at least make sure that they get $2 if you are taking one, right? Otherwise, if you think that you charge them $1, they will get $1.10. Don't do it, because then the margin of error is so little that something goes wrong, and your whole business model can collapse. So you have to figure those things out.
So if someone listening to us wants to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to connect with you online?
So the best thing is that they can go to my website, gmrwebteam.com. They can send me email directly, which is jajay@gmrwebteam.com. Or just call me, which is on the website, 714-731-9000. Yeah. And I always say that if you send me an email, please on the subject line say something like, you know, a reference to you heard me, where you heard me on the subject line, because I get somewhere around like 3,000 emails a day. And a lot of it, if I don't recognize it, I tend to delete. But when it comes to phone call, even if I'm not here, I hate. And those are the things that you can do, right? So in the corporation, I still hate it when you call a corporation, it's like, oh, for this, press one. Now on this thing, for this department, press one. And so that you're playing with the phone for 5 minutes before you reach someone. So because I hated it, I have a receptionist, the live receptionist. So when someone calls, someone is going to pick up the phone. So if I am not available, it doesn't matter. Now, if you leave the message and say, I want to talk to him because I heard him on this podcast,
and
I will definitely get back.
And if you call on a Saturday, we can reach you even directly, right? Because your love is every Friday.
That is true. On Saturday, it's definitely you can reach you. And some people have figured it out.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you that.
Great, Ajay, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in. To get updates on latest episodes, make sure you subscribe with your email by going over to breakingtheborders.com. If you know anyone good as a guest, shoot me an email. I will reach out to the guest, get hold of them, and ask them all the questions that you have. My email is rohit@breakingtheborders.com. Thanks again and have an amazing day.